Could you put a book in front of that light? You guys, welcome. I am so glad. We are so thrilled to see you guys. We've been thinking about this meeting since January. We don't typically think of things way ahead of time. But I was looking at my calendar. We had this scheduled in January. And we've been looking forward. Doesn't mean we've got it all planned out real well, because I was on my face today saying, God, what on earth do you want me to say tonight? But we are excited. I'm excited to be here with you. Our staff is excited to have you guys come. I just want to tell you that I am truly, truly honored to be laboring in Salt Lake City, in Utah, with you guys. And I know some of you don't even know me very well. Some of you, this is the first thing that maybe you've even done, like a conference with this church. But I want to tell you something. If that's true, then you need to understand something, that you are in the company of some special people. You are in the company of some amazing people. And I am honored. And I just want to pray. Lord, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you so much, God, for your kindness to us. You're always blessing us as a church. You're always blessing us individually. I am so thankful for the people that are here tonight. And thankful for the people that wanted to come but just couldn't. There's many, many people that should be sitting here right now and being honored right now because of their labor with us. And God, I just want to honor these people. I want to thank you, God, that nothing has happened over the last 7 years could have happened without these people and people who have come before them and the people you've hooked us up with. And we are so blessed and so thankful, God, that you use just ordinary people, and that's all we are. We don't know much, but we know you. We know you, and we know the gospel. We know the cross. We know Jesus and him crucified. And I just want to lift this time up to you. I thank you for it. I thank you for all the faces and what it means to me. When I see so many faces and think so many memories, and some of them I don't know very well, but I know that if they stay with us, that as we get to know each other, that there'll be a time I'll look at them and say, man, we have fought this fight together. What a blessing to be in a room with a company of men and women like this. It truly is humbling. It's humbling. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, God. So bless the rest of this weekend, God. I just pray again, as I've been praying for a long time. God, you lead this time. Whatever you want to have happen, God, I just pray that you'd have it happen. Speak through me and through the worship and through our conversations. Have your way with us, God. I pray that you would bless us this weekend. That you put a hedge of protection around this place, God. That this would be a place where you are Lord, that you are King, that you reign, that you're able to say what you want to say unhindered, that you would take away any distractions from our hearts right now. Take them away. Take away the week. Take away the drive up here. God, take it away and help us focus on you. Oh God of Jacob, we lift our hearts to you. We lift our eyes to you. Tell you, we want you to speak to us. We want you to meet us in this place, that we go away and go, God met us here. He met us here. I pray that you would do that. God, that's all that matters. Give us direction. Speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this week, it's kind of a hard week for me. One of my heroes, a true life hero, died. And I'm not kidding, that was a little bit difficult for me. I really have a hero in Steve Irwin, the crocodile guy that got killed. I've looked up to him for years. He's changed my life. He truly has. I had a picture right next to Steele's picture on my wall. And every morning I pray, God, make me like these guys. Steele was jamming on his guitar and Steve Irwin was holding up a crocodile. And I would pray, God, make me like these two guys. I really did that. And he died this week, and you know, that morning, my wife came in, and actually she kind of broke it to me. It's like, she knew it would be kind of hard, actually. And I was reading, see if I can find it here, in Ecclesiastes. And this is what I read that morning. It says, "For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. That death is the destiny of every man." And Steele kind of touched on that, even that last prayer. Just, you know, I quote that verse all the time. Jesus said, "Night is coming when no man can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." I mean, I've got work to do while I'm here. And I've thought a lot about death this week. I've thought about that. Steve Irwin was 2 years younger than I am. And he reached the world with his message. The guy loved animals. And he was quoted, I was reading some quotes on him in 2002, quoting and saying, "If I die, at least I'll die and they'll have it videotaped for the world to see that I'm doing what I love and that they can learn from that." 2002, he said that. And then he died. He got killed. He died doing what he loved. He died for conservation and for animals, and it's a rebuke and a sobering reminder to me that I've got something much more important to live for and to die for. And I want to die doing that. I want to change the world. I do. And I feel so inadequate. And I feel so, compared to Steve Irwin and the passion Steele has and people like that, I just feel so inadequate. But that's my heart. I want to do that. And it was a reminder this week that, you know, we don't have much. We don't know how long we have. We just don't know. But we want to make it count. And I want to do it with you guys. You know, I've done a couple conferences at this, standing right here. And Steele and I did a conference for ICS, I think, and done a conference for Campus Crusade. And you know what? I'd much rather be looking in your eyes, because you and I, we're going to do this together. And some of you are at those conferences. You're now with us. But I'm just thrilled to do it with you guys. I want to live and die with you guys, trying to reach the world, not for animals, but for Jesus Christ to win souls. That's it. I don't know how to do it that well. I'm oftentimes wimpy in my passion, but that's all I want to do. All the other church crap that goes on along with it, we have to do that. But I just want to win people to Christ. And I want you guys to do it with me and with us. And when we win them, we want to build them up. Why? So they can go out and win some more. That's what we're doing. That's what we're all about. It's as simple as that. It gets convoluted, and we have to make charts, we have to make org charts, and we have to do all that stuff. We got to hire people, we got to do this and that. But it's all so that we can win more people. And we can die on tape saying, "This is what I'm doing. Living for God. To win people for Christ." You guys down with that? See? I know how to talk. That's right. Yeah. They taught me how to. My words. I'm down. Yeah, I'm down with it. Totally. Yeah, that's right. Keep on trucking, baby. Okay. Open your Bible. Psalm 77, real quick. I just got a short thing tonight. There's a bonfire that is waiting to happen with s'mores galore, and we're going to get out to it. We want you guys to enjoy this weekend. We love you guys, and we want you to know that. We want you to know that we love you, we appreciate you, all your work, all your labors, all these years. Psalm 77 and 78. Honestly, if we go away, and Steele has reminded me about this even today, even if we just hang around this weekend and have fun in a beautiful place, in a fun little, quaint little camp, if we just hang around and get to know each other better and eat some s'mores and enjoy fellowship together, if you're refreshed at the end of this time, then that'll be awesome. That'll be wonderful. That'll be a bullseye. I do have goals for the weekend for sure. Things I want to accomplish, want God to accomplish through us. But turn to Psalm 77. Verse 1 says, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me when I was in distress. I sought the Lord. At night I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, I remembered you, O God. Go to verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Go to Psalm 78. In verse 9, it says, the men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turn back. They turn back on the day of battle. That's not a good time to turn back. On the day of battle, they turn back. They did not keep God's covenant, and they refused to live by His law. Why? Because they forgot what He had done. They forgot what He had done. The wonders that He had shown them. What did we just read in Psalm 77? I will remember the deeds of the Lord. They forgot. And they turned back on the day of battle. They forgot the wonders that He had shown them. Verse 12, He did miracles in their sight, in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand firm like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire by night. He split the rocks in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of the rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. But they continued to sin against Him. You know, I have really three goals for this weekend. As I've thought about getting you guys, you really are the very lifeblood of all that God wants to do through this church. Again, with the people that, along with the people that wanted to be here that couldn't, that should be here if they could be. You guys are the lifeblood of our church. You are it. I hope you understand that. We understand all too well. And we want to bless you. And this weekend, what I want you to do is to be, when we're done, when you're leaving, I want you to be encouraged by our past. Okay? Encouraged by the past. Remember the deeds of the Lord. I want you to be encouraged by our past. I want you to be empowered for the present. Empowered for what we have at hand right now. The stuff going on next week. All the stuff that God's got us doing together. Empowered for the present and excited about the future. So I want you to be encouraged by the past, empowered for the present, and excited about the future, what God has for us. So I'm going to talk about all three of those things. And you guys are going to, I'm going to have some of you share. We're going to look back. It's going to be fun. But I want you to have those. I want you I want us all to be on the same page, kind of going out of here like a bullet out of a gun, going, we know where we come from, we know where we're at, and we know where we're headed. We're excited about it. And we know where we fit. We know what we can be doing in the scheme of these things. What's the battle plan and how I can practically be a part of that? I really want you to go away knowing all those things. Go, man, God has blessed us in the past. Man, we got some amazing stuff going on, and I know what I'm supposed to do. And oh my goodness, I better hold, you know, strap in for the future. Because it's going to go down, and I'm going to be a part of it. And I know what that's going to look like. I want us all to be on the same page. Wouldn't that be good? And even at the end of tonight, we've got a little surprise for you, I think, that will bless your socks as a core. Yes, speaking of socks, yeah, I have socks and sandals tonight, just so you know, in honor of Kim Crosswhite's father, who sent me a letter this week with a cool thing about socks and sandals. Anyway, where was I? Oh, bless the socks. Yeah, I was talking about socks. I can't remember. I lost my train. Yeah, and he sent me a... Yeah, right. He sent me something like 2 weeks ago in the mail. So anyway, that's what we're going to do. And so what I thought would be good to do would be to talk about the past a little bit. Some of you are kind of new. I wish I had time to do a huge slideshow. I did not have time to do a huge slideshow. But the past, you know. Let me just share with you, because it is so encouraging. And that's what it says in Psalm 77, Psalm 78, that we're to remember the past, the deeds of the Lord, the miracles that He's done. Otherwise, we're going to not have courage for the future. I can have courage for the future. And if you're new with us and you don't know our past, then you know what? It's going to be hard for you to have courage for the future. You might turn back on the day of battle. And I want to tell you something. We've got a battle coming up. We're in a battle. I'm going to talk about this weekend, tomorrow night, then Sunday. We're in a battle. I think about the past. I just think it's fun to think about it. I'm going to have you guys help me fill in some blanks because I can't remember everything. But just highlights, to think about the past. Think of what God's done in our midst in this church. I think way back to, 1997, 98, when we started thinking about planting the church out in Salt Lake City. And I was pastoring in Colorado. I was in Fort Collins, Colorado with John Meyer and Steve Bush and Steve Nelson and Greg Richard. I think we had five pastors. And actually, I was in Loveland at that point. And we started thinking about where would God like us to plant a church? And we started getting a map out, and we started looking for places that had some population. It wasn't very scientific. It was just kind of like, we got a bunch of churches in Denver that we've helped plant, and it looks like Salt Lake City would be the closest, but there's a lot of Mormons there. So we hear. But it's still the closest, so we looked at the map and thought, maybe we should go out there and try it. So we would literally get in a van. All us pastors got in a van and drove to Salt Lake City. And then we got stopped somewhere downtown. I can't remember where. And we got a phone book and we started looking up Christian organizations, churches, and we started calling them. I don't know why we didn't do that before we got to Salt Lake City, but we did. I remember standing on the side of the road, flipping through a phone book, going, "Is there got to be some churches in here?" There wasn't a lot. And we got some phone numbers, and we called a guy. It's now called Sandy Ridge Church. It used to be Sandy Baptist, a guy who's still there. His name is Marv Cohen. Somebody hooked us. Somehow we networked within a couple phone calls to this guy named Marv. And we said, "Hey, we're pastors from Colorado. We're thinking about planting a church. Could we meet with you?" It was at night because we drove, and it was dark. And he said, "Yeah." So we met at an Italian restaurant. It's right on it's on State Street. And it's down by like 101st, 102nd, down in the States. What? No, it was really Italian. It was, I can't remember the name. But I remember meeting with this guy, and he was like, "Yeah, I think it'd be kind of cool if you guys started a church. That'd be good." And so we kind of asked him, we got a feel for he had written a book about Mormonism and Christianity. He helped us. And we did that a couple more times. We started networking. We met with people at Salt Lake Seminary. I tried to hook up with Campus Crusade people. And, just people that I thought might give us a clue. Is this really a good idea or not? Should we do this? And then it seemed like, yeah, maybe we should do this. So I remember driving home with all the pastor buddies. And we stopped at the park and ride. So we were going to get out one night. This was about third or fourth trip that we'd done this. We just pack them in and come out here and meet with people and drive back. And I remember sitting in the park and ride with John Meyer and Steve and all these other guys. And we kind of looked at each other and said, "Well, maybe I think we should do this." And we all kind of went, "Yeah, I think it'd be a good thing." And we said, "Well, who's going to go? I mean, here we are, five pastors going, who's going to do it?" And I said, "I'll do it. I got somebody that can take my place." We talked about a guy named Craig Swing could take over my place in Loveland. And they all went, "Okay." So, decided to come out here to Salt Lake City. And so I started going out there. I started taking guys with me. I started recruiting guys. I didn't recruit real hard. I just prayed that God would give me 30 people. And then you bring them to me that could go with me to Salt Lake City. So I started driving out to Salt Lake City and meeting with the people that I met with. And I met with a group of people from New Song Church, which is a whole story in and of itself. Because some of you, Cole, I know, was from New Song at the time, and Terry. And you guys, okay. I met with some of those guys. I met with actually the pastor there, Jeff Zaccone. And what he told me was that this church is going down. I'm leaving, and here's the list of people. All these people need to be followed up. And there was 250 or so people. And I went, "What?" And he was kind of bitter, and he was kind of angry, and he was mad, and he was leaving. And we thought, "Wow, are you really?" So he actually pulled me together with his leaders and had a meeting with his leaders and was saying, "Go with Bill, he's going to start a church," and da 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 da. So I'm thinking, good. So I got a mail list of 250 people now. It's a big score. So I start emailing these guys or mailing these guys, and I find out they're all getting mad because their church hadn't folded, and they're trying to make it work. So I'm trying to They think I'm stealing all their sheep. So that's not a great way to start a church plant. Everybody thinks you're stealing their sheep. So I met with the new pastor, who quickly became one of my best friends in Salt Lake City at the time, and met with we got good friends with his wife, and I apologized, told him I'd tear up the list. I won't call his people anymore. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. And that was fine. Anyway, we decided to do it. Long story short, we started bringing teams out to go door to door, doing a 2-minute survey, 2-question survey. Are you part of a local church right now? Yes or no? If they said yes, we said, thank you for your time. If they said no, we said, would you be interested in a new church plant in the area? And then we would talk to them after that. So we started doing that. We'd bring teams out for a weekend and go back to Colorado. We're just trying to getting people. That's all we were trying to do. Well, fortunately, one person happened to go. It was on a Sunday mornings when we did this. It was great because we get all the non-Mormons and the Christians who were skipping church. And we happened to hit a household of women that were skipping church. And one of our people knocked on the door of Paige and Suge. And Kim, was it, who else was there? It wasn't Kim at the time, was it? Was it Kim? And did the survey, and they could tell you the whole story after that. But that's where we met these guys. Okay, we did I can't remember her name. Christine Fortune knocked on the door and hooked up with Paige and Suge and Kim. And they were skipping church at the time, which was great. They were trying to find a church. They're trying to find a good church. And so I started emailing back and forth to this guy named Suji. And for the life of me, we had great conversation. I assumed he was a guy, and we talked back and forth. And I still have those original emails. I still see that. I have those on my computer still, 7.5 years ago. And they were interested to come. So we were going to have some unplugged services. Actually, we had some info meetings that they couldn't make either one of those. But he kept emailing and said, we're still interested. Sorry, we couldn't make it that meeting. I said, that's cool. So I had like one contact in Salt Lake City. And so we started having these unplugged services at my house. My family moved out in May. And then shortly after that, a couple months, and McEnroy's moved that same weekend. We started having these unplugged services. And I kept emailing Suji. And he said, we'll be there at this thing. We'll be at your meeting at your house. We had Sunday morning services at my house in my living room. And we invited everybody that we knew. We probably had, at the time, 25 or so people, 20, 25. And so I remember we were waiting at the door for Suge and his friends to come, and these girls start walking up to our door, and it hit me as I see this Indian looking girl that I think this is Suji. So we welcome Suji and her friends to our house, and you got to hear their side of the story. But Paige was fighting it. I think at that point, right? It's like, no, we're not going to this. No, this is a mistake because they've been burned by some other bad church situations. And Suge said, we're here. We're going in, okay? We're going to go in here. And so they did come in, and it was okay, and they liked kind of somehow that God blessed, and they liked what they saw. They enjoyed our families and whatnot. And again, long story short, they stayed, and were really the cornerstone of our whole church. No question about it. God blessed us because obviously they know everybody in Salt Lake City and beyond. And just, I've been with us for 7.5 years now. So, you know what? I think these guys need a round of applause from you. So, what are the chances that we'd catch these guys skipping on church on a Sunday and they would, I think of that and I think, God, where would we be without that? Where would we be without that? I don't know. But God was kind to us in that situation. I think of things like that. I think of our home meetings where we started just meeting with people, and there was a number of people that started coming, and they're not here. I mean, these guys have stuck around, but they would bring some friends that were with us for a while. We started growing as a church. We started meeting at Alta Kenya Sports Center. Who has met with us at Alta Kenya? Raise your hand if you've met with us while we're at Alta Kenya. So by almost half have been with us for, that's going on 3.5 years that we left Alta Canyon. And, that's a, it's an aerobics room. We met in an aerobics room And our kids were, they have to crawl through the small door to go in the racquetball courts to do kids care in the racquetball courts. We baptized people in the hot tub there at Alta Canyon. We baptized people in the pool. And God blessed us. We grew. Amazing. It's amazing that we grew there. You know, I remember, this is what kills me. I think back and I think, God, help me never forget. You can bless anything. Sometimes our band consisted of me playing a bongo, one bongo, and Mary Goldring playing acoustic guitar. And she's really good, but that was it. And you know what? It was sweet worship. I mean, there's something about how God just, sometimes in a situation like that, He just changes the notes and what it sounds like before it hits your ear. And you just go, oh, God, that is awesome. It's not, the Bible, what does the Bible say? The gift is acceptable, not according to what you don't have, but according to what you have. I mean, you just give God what you have and He'll bless it. Now I think what we have now, and I'm humbled. Honestly, you guys are so spoiled rotten by what Steele has done with the worship bands and they're just incredible. They're the best in Utah, without doubt. I mean, Steele in and of himself is the best in Utah. And he leads our worship passionately. And I used to bang a bongo. Call it worship, you know. But now, what do we got? I go, God, you did it again. Again, through Paige and the hookup there. God blessed us. Some unbelievable. I think of things like that. You know, I think of then bringing Paige on staff. We grew. We had small groups that multiplied. And we talked about doing a second service at Plant, a Saturday night church. And we kicked around the idea of doing that. We had meetings, thought, what can we do? Let's start a church downtown. There's a huge place that we could, you know, a subculture that we think we could reach. I have to ask Paige and Suge. I said, I don't know if I can relate to your friends. And they kept encouraging me. They say, if you did, you can. You can. I was insecure. They go, no, you can reach our friends. Just be yourself. Maybe untuck your shirt or something. But, you know, they helped me dress. I would oftentimes go to them before service. Say, does this look okay? Does this, you know, am I looking okay? And but they are so affirming. They're so affirming. And Paige came on staff with this mandate. Paige, I want you to create a church that your friends would like to come to. Help create that environment. So she found the building. She organized all the decorating and figured that out. She had lots of help with Suge and Tim McAllister and lots of people here. Who helped with that new building right when we were cleaning it up, painting, Joey? You know, there's tons of people. Who was there to help with that cleaning? Raise your hand up high there. Yeah, raise it up. Don't be ashamed. That was a good thing. You guys, that was amazing, wasn't it? We didn't have, at the time, we were meeting at the Alta Canyon Saturday nights. And we planned and we pulled the trigger and we would have people start coming. We had like 20 or 30 people. And we had a start date. We're saying we're going to start on this date. So we just picked up the whole Saturday night service and moved it down to this new cool building, which is where we're meeting now. But it was about a third of the space. We only had a little bit of that warehouse. Now it's multiplied and multiplied out again. And God has done amazing things. I'm amazed by that. That He could take just a little band of people that go, I'll do it. I'll be a part of that. And it took hard work. And it took you guys scrubbing floors and scrubbing toilets and doing the dirty work and cleaning and building a rock wall and putting up sheetrock and painting the wrong color and then have to paint it again and putting up stuff on the walls that looks really cool and there's a sound barrier and finding curtains and all that stuff. You guys did that and hundreds of people have gotten saved. And hundreds and thousands more will get saved, the Lord willing. There's no reason they won't. We should expect less. Just a little band of people. And I remember that. It's a miracle. It's amazing to me. And it encourages my heart. And I think of things like that. I think about Suge coming on staff and helping us with all the marketing and the website. And we, Cole and Casey and Suge, I remember having meetings at my house about this website. We came up with this huge plan. I said, I threw some money on the table and said, you guys split it up any way you want to. Just do the website. You figure it out. And they did. They came up with, it's not the website we have now, but it was a real flash and it was the coolest website out there, for sure. God blessed us just with what we needed. And then Steele, I remember having Well, then Mac got raised up before that. Before Suge came on, Mac, we got our second pastor. Where's Mac at? Give it up for Mac over there. Now, I think it was, was it right before we got kicked out of Alta Canyon that you got raised up? Or was it, we were at the Sandy building, that's right, because I remember talking to leaders about Mac, and Mac's my partner in crime here, and honestly, I couldn't, there's no way that we could have grown or I could have done anything from that point on. Mac was the man. God raised him up right in our own midst, and God has blessed him, and he's blessed you, hasn't he? God has blessed you through Mac to give us another leader, another pastor that I can co-pastor with, that we're accountable together, that we lead this church together. And it gives us protection, and it blessed us. And a whole new phase of growth happened right after we recognized Mac. Absolutely. Tremendous blessing to our church, no doubt about it. I think when we got kicked out of Alta Canyon, we found the building, we were looking for a building, and couldn't find anything. It was like we had a month to go before we had to be out. It was less than a month. We got told we had 30 days to move out. So we started looking, and then Jeff Wingad goes to the Sunday morning church, called and said, I think I found the place. Said, what are you talking about? Well, it's that big building, 106th and 13th. And we said, well, I've looked at that. I've called the realtor. They never called me back. He goes, well, I got hold of the owner. I said, you did? Yeah, he's going to meet us there. So Mac and I, and I don't know if there's any, was anybody else with us when we went and visited? Just you and me, Mac, and got in this building. It was totally trash, completely trash. And it was one of the junior partners came to show us the building. He was nonplussed by the whole thing. He was just kind of like, well, there it is. And there was water just squirting out of, you know, two broken pipes just squirting water. There's water on the floor. There's pizza boxes. It was completely trash, completely. And he goes, I remember him looking at us and kind of going, he said, do you really want to meet here? I mean, you really want to? And we go, yeah. I mean, we had no other place to meet. We're going to be out. We said, yeah, well, we'd like it. And he kind of went, you know, after a while, we were looking around going, oh, this is a gold mine. It was like we were looting because there was like 30 of these huge, you know, office desks. And he said, he told us right then, I don't care if you want, you can have all of it. You can have anything you want. Those 8-foot tables, there's like 50 of those things. There's the rolling nice desk chairs. There's hundreds of those. I mean, we filled up. I don't know how many dumpsters, those 40-foot dumpsters, 6 of junk out of that place. I'm not kidding. The big, long dumpsters, we filled them, take them away 6 times. And we kept all the good stuff. It was like we looted the place. God gave us a place and we looted it. Not only that, he goes, well, how much do you want us to rent? You know, we didn't have a lot of money. How much would you charge? And he goes, I don't know. $2,800. And we said, how about $1,800? And he goes, okay. He didn't care. It was trashed. He probably didn't think we'd stay there. It was so bad. So we were like, yeah. So we came in and we ripped everything out. We tore walls down. And I still remember Derek there with a sawzall cutting his head poking through a wall, getting into the sawzall and got dust flying. How many of you guys helped us clean that building that we first got it? Amen. See, we've been through a lot together. We have a history, and God bless us. We look at that building as a blessing. Now, we look at it as a blessing more than Mac does, because Mac has to fix everything that's broken in that building. Okay? But he thinks it's a blessing, too. No doubt about it. We've had tears over that building, literally saying, God, thank you. And we're praying that God gives us the building, and the next miracle. Give it to us outright. I remember things like that. I'm encouraged by that. We hired Steele then. I remember sitting with Steele and We had many conversations before that, and, you know, I was thinking, man, it was sure good to have that guy leading our worship. You know, he can play that guitar pretty good, you know. And turns out he was out of work. I said, Steele, how much money are you making right now? He said, nothing. I said, I can pay you more than that. I said, I'll give you $1,000 if you come work for us part-time, $1,000 a month. He said, okay. So he started working for us part-time, and God was getting a hold of his heart at that time, and God, it was, you know, the rest is history. God has gotten a hold of his heart. God has changed that man, hasn't he, in the last 4 years? God has completely changed you, brother. And it got to the point where we hired him half-time, and then we had enough money. Guy's working full-time anyway. We just had to pay him because he's doing full-time work. He's only paying him half-time, and we got him, which is amazing. And that's a whole story in itself you got to hear. It's a miracle because of where he was at with his career and how God worked that whole thing out. It, you know, it's like we shouldn't have Steele Crossway as our worship leader. We shouldn't. Shouldn't be. But God has blessed us. It's a miracle. And it's a wonder. And we need to remember that because it's blessed us and God has given us that, hasn't he? Isn't it good to remember? Isn't it good to think back, whoa, God did that. And then God gave us Michael. And I'm just talking about, these are highlights in my mind, because these are guys I work with now, but all along the church is growing, not stopping, growing. And we need more resources, and we need someone to help us with our finances. We need somebody that could help us administratively. And I remember Michael sitting with us, I don't know how long it was before we hired you, but it was, you know, he wanted to meet with us, so Mac and I sat with him at a, what was that place, it was Starbucks or something downtown. I didn't know the guy from Adam. I guess he visited our church, and his situation was disintegrating at the church he was in, and he was, you know, he liked what he saw at the Rock. He loved what he saw at the Rock, and he just wanted us to know that. And I remember telling him, that's not the way we do things, buddy. We don't just hire people. We need to know you before we would hire you, so thanks for the coffee, but, you know, whatever, you know. Is that about what I said? I was just being honest. We don't hire people here. We don't do hirelings. We don't. I won't. I want to know them. We'll never, I shouldn't say never, but to fly somebody in and say, hey, you're a pretty good guy. Let's hire you. You know, I want to know them because we have a chemistry that's more important than your job skills or the number of degrees behind your name. We have to have a chemistry. And Michael stuck around, and he stuck around. And we got to know him. And you know what? We gave him a job. I remember with 40 Days of Purpose, I said, okay, you're going to hang around, and, you know, well, let's just, you claim to have all these skills. I said, let me give you a job. I said, I want you to volunteer to run our whole 40 Days campaign, run it all. And it's a full-time job. He didn't have a job. So again, I just kind of, I know when people, I got people, you know, it's like, go ahead and do it. And you know, see, I want to see how you do with it. So he ran the whole thing. And he did a great job. And it was a blessing. It was like, wow, this guy's got it going on. And it came to the point where we needed somebody. And it was real evident that Michael was the man. And Michael has rescued us. He has blessed us more than you know. I mean, honestly, I don't even know if we could even have this meeting if it hadn't been for Michael or do anything. We were not in a good position, and we were heading down fast in financially and other ways. And Michael really did come in, and with his gifts and skills, he blessed us. And so thank you, Michael, for that. And so many other things that he's brought to the table. And then we hired Tony recently. Yeah, and that's been, you know, amazing. I mean, his hair is so cool, you know. It's awesome. I love it. He's got it covered up now. I don't know why, man. It's looking good there, I think, isn't it? What we got going on? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So our website and all the, you know, Rock You and marketing and design stuff, he has just knocked out of the park. And plus, giving him his list is never ending, as is Michael's, and most of our lists are pretty long right now. But again, all along, these have been blessings that I remember and I think back, and there's story after story, there's funny thing after funny thing. I just think of all the baptisms, hundreds of salvations. Honestly, I just go, God, I don't want to forget that. And I want you to be encouraged by our past. And maybe, if you were with us in the beginning, if you've been with us in those first few years, maybe something sparked your mind. I just want to give you a chance just to share that briefly. Maybe you go, wow, I remember this. Because I didn't cover, you know, that much of it. But maybe you're thinking, oh, I remember this and it encouraged me. Well, no, I'd like to hear that now, just real quick. Just to encourage us, we want to remember the wonders of God because it will encourage us in the future. Did anything pop into mind, you guys that have been around for a while, thinking, that was so cool? Yeah, one?
Thank you.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Who else has got maybe a wonder? You go, man, I remember that. It was so cool that happened. God did that. I'm going to, I didn't say this before, I'm going to have you speak, because we're recording this part. I want to have this for posterity, so I don't have a real long microphone cord. So thank you.
I think it was about 5 years ago, this, next week, it was right after 9/11 happened, and Bill had managed to convince, six or seven of us to go to Colorado to go check out the Rock that was going on in Fort Collins, just so he could set us up, because we had no idea what was coming. But we took this van ride out. We were like, oh, cool, we'll go to Fort Collins, we'll go to the Rock, we'll go see what that's all the hype's all about, because we kept on hearing about how amazing it was, and we had no idea what it was. And so I remember just going to Fort Collins and hanging out and getting to know Bill, and there was just a group of us, and we just had fun, and we got to meet more of the Fort Collins crew, and got to go check out the church, and we were just like, wow, this is really cool. They got their stuff put together, you know, And I remember on that fated drive back, Bill put us all in the van and was like, you see that? Yeah, you need to do that. I think that was about the time where we were like hook, line, and sinkered in to the Rock and into Bill, into Mac. And Mac wasn't, you know, a pastor at that point yet, but he still was just awesome. And Phil and Jeff and all those guys, it was just amazing. But I think that trip just really made us all laugh, because all of a sudden we got out of the van and we were like, Oh, so that's it. So that's kind of what this weekend's like for the rest of you guys. Just be prepared. You're about to get your world rocked.
Amen. You were on that trip, weren't you, Seal? It was a red van. That was the second one? Second one was where Tan got hooked up with us. Yeah, he's on tour or something. Amen. Yeah, and I should mention, you've heard names I've got written down here. I missed over it, but the McElroys, the Hans, the Porters, Shocks, and Beelines. There were six couples that moved out. Hans, Porters were out with us that first year. They moved out right away, and Phil's been with me. He moved to Fort Collins from Ames, and we labored there together for years, and then came out to Salt Lake City with us. He's my brother-in-law. I don't know if you even know that. He's my wife's brother. They're connected, so we're connected. And I love Phil. I love Linda and their kids, and Jeff and Brenda Porter came out with us from the church in Loveland there, where we've been working with them and with their kids. And there's two families that are now not with us. One moved back to Colorado, one's in town here. Shocks and Beelines were with us for a while, helped us out tremendously. But this is a homegrown church now. This is, for the most part, this is Salt Lake City. You guys are it. It's not a Colorado church. It doesn't even have that feel anymore, which I'm really glad for. I mean, nothing wrong with Colorado, but I'm so thankful that we have locals. This is our church. It's planted. It's got roots right here, which is tremendous. Who's got another story? Paige, you got to have a story. You better be thinking. Okay.
My story is a little different. Two stories that come to my mind. One is, there's a lot of men in this room, and there used to not be very many men. So I want to just say, seriously, and I'm not saying that because I'm single, so it's not like one of those things. That made me sound like really weird, because like all of a sudden I was like, Paige, I'm like blushing, huh? I'm like, you're single, and you're saying, wow, there's a lot of guys. No, that is, that isn't it. But I'm glad you're here. No, just kidding. Seriously, I remember two things. One, in 2003, when we went up to, not very far from here, we went to a condo. We now term it Vision Quest 03. I don't know if you know that, but that's what we call it. And that was pre us planning the church downtown. And we got together, and there was a handful of people there. And I think, like, Steele and Joey were our... Yeah, stand up if you were Cole. Yeah. That's right. Stand up if you were at Vision Quest 03. Yeah. So this group right here is basically who planted your downtown church. So right there. And I think what's amazing to me is that small group of people are the people who prayed and met together and envisioned together how to make what we have downtown now. And all of them pretty much came from Sunday, you know, to talk about the love that Juan was feeling there. I mean, we were all laboring together and serving on at Sunday morning and doing childcare and doing that. And we made something out of that. God made something out of that using us, and it's incredible. And shortly after that, I mean, I just want to point out two key guys. God brought Derek and Tim to us real shortly after that. And that was amazing. You know, I mean, we prayed for men leaders there. And I just, you know, you're popping up, and it's exciting. And, you know, Tony and Michael were a blip on the screen. It's just exciting to see what God's doing. And I think that is really cool, and literally probably, and I'm surprised these people still go to the Rock, because I worked them to the bone. Those people to like 2-3 in the morning to make our building what it is. And that's, I don't know, my hat's off to you still 3+ years later. And quote unquote, I was paid to be there, but you know, I'm way over my hours. And anyway, just God is good. And seriously, like what Suji said, those of you who have never been on something like this, and those of you who are part of the Rock, God will rock your world, and I hope He continues to rock all of our worlds. And whatever church plants we're involved in, there will be many more in Salt Lake City, many, many more, and just get ready. It's exciting.
You just remind me of this page, but for all of you that were part of the downtown building, this is just a funny story, I think. So that night, the last night that we finished the building, it was an amazing night. We ordered pizza, and we all had beer. And I remember... Ryan and Steele went to 7-Eleven and to buy the beer, and Ryan shared the gospel. It was just like this crazy night. And I remember, like, there's those metal bulletin boards we stick announcements on, and I had a paper towel, and I wrote, "Jesus rocks," because that's the only announcement we had. And we were all just like drinking beer and walking around the building, and we were like, "I can't believe we're done." And we just, it was just cool. Like, it was like Christmas Eve. We didn't know what was going to happen, you know, and we were scared, but God, it's just amazing to think of that night and just like what we have now. And we were all nervous because we loved the Sunday church so much that it was like giving up our family, but God just replaced it, just like He says He does. So it was awesome.
You can bring in the beer now. Just spread it out right here. I'm over. Pop the kegger. Let's do this thing. We can edit this off the tape, right, Tony? We can bleep the word beer.
Beep.
Soda, yeah, soda. Yes, barley pop. Okay, Derek, come on up, brother. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Amen.
Probably the first memory of the church still sticks with me the most. And to my friend Tim and I, who's here now, and we had moved out to Utah just on a whim, and just looking back, it was a God thing. But I met this guy named, I didn't know his name was Steve or Mac and Steve and McEnroy and Steve and McEnroy, and I didn't really get the name thing for like 6 months. So if you don't really know, what his name is? Don't worry about it. You won't figure it out. But it was December, right around the 18th or something like that. And we had gone to church that Sunday before Christmas. And he had come up to us, and we were talking right after church for maybe 10 minutes. And said, "Well, where are you guys going for Christmas?" And I said, "Well, I'm really nowhere. We're hanging out is what we're doing." He said, "Well, why don't you come over to our house on Christmas Day?" And I said, "Christmas Day, are you sure?" "Yeah, Christmas Day." And I said, "Any man, any person, period, that's like, to me, that's the most sacred holiday that there is. People kind of hunker down. They really don't even go outside." He invited us over, and he followed up, and we went over to his house Christmas Day and celebrated with him and played Boggle and with his family and got to know them. And that was huge to me. That spoke wonders to my heart at that time, because who opens their home on Christmas Day? They weren't they just weren't saying, "Hey, have a good Christmas, I'll see you next Sunday." He said, "Why don't you come over and enjoy yourself?" Second thing that I remember, and I'll tell you that one in a second. Who remembers when steel was heavy? Yeah, thank you. Steel, you remember that. All I got to say is he used to wear coats that were huge. And he was sweating. I don't know how you did it, brother. I had water in my hand. I don't think he knew this. I had water at any time, like to splash you or something. So I was scared, dude. You were sweating, and afterwards you get a hug, and you're like, man. And he was smoking all the time. Who remember smoking? Whatever, dude. You were awesome back then. You're still awesome, but you're clean now, dude. And you're skinny. You're awesome. Was another trip. We went on a Mexico mission trip, and you know how after a trip we went, this is 2 years ago, afterwards we're on the beach, and we decided to end early, and your wisdom said, "Why don't we organize this, finish it up fast, and we'll go to San Diego and have a good time tonight and hang out and just go to dinner and shower up and then drive the long way home." We're on the beach. There is a lot of us, just family, and you're just hanging out with people that you love and you care about. And I'm standing there just kind of doing this. And this didn't occur to me until about 6 months ago. And I'm standing there on the beach. And I'm looking for, you know, people to talk to, kind of chum around with. And I really enjoy hanging around Mac. And there's just something about him. I really care about him a lot. And I love him. I want to be by him. And that was the time to be by him. So I'm looking for him. And I'm kind of chumming around. And by him, and I'm kind of doing this thing and talking to him, and all of a sudden I did this, and he was gone. And I look up, and he was over at this guy named Joe. He was over chasing Joe, and it reminded me of what it says in this book, what Jesus did. Doesn't a man leave the 99 to go after the one? And it just struck me, and I'm like, this guy's living it. These people live it. And that struck me to this day. I think about that time. And I know there's heroes of the faith in this book, but I got a hero of the faith right here. We got heroes of the faith sitting in this room. And that's one example. There are men in this room. I mean, I can't pin Steel down long enough to talk to me because he's always doing this, looking for many of you at one time, looking for all of you. And now today you're sitting in this room because of that man or because of this man looking over you. Looking over your shoulder when you're talking. So if they're doing this, they're looking to open the gate and get out and leave you there and go after the one. And I'm proud to be associated with these men and become more like them. They've changed my life. And just knowing them, and I love them, and I love you all through loving Christ. And I want to say one more thing. I did meet my wife at this church, in case you're wondering. Men and women do meet, but... I know it's a rarity, and it's really not even talked about a whole lot, but the worship leader did hook up. And my wife does remind me of this. She said that I met her before, but I have no recollection of ever meeting her. My eyes just were open one day, okay? So take that for what it is. Your eyes might be sitting around someone you just have known, and then God can go... And Paige, you can have a husband sitting in this room. Or somewhere else. Zach, come on up.
Zach Super. There's fire over here. I was ill-prepared for this trip. I'm wearing shorts and flip-flops. I remember the summer that the College Kids from Colorado came out. I thought that was just an awesome summer, just to get to know them. I was in high school. The big thing about it was that our goal was to advertise the new church. We're supposed to get the Saturday Night Rock church promoted out to all these people, and so we're going to concerts and whatnot. And I remember going to the Big Fish concert out at Utaba, and Utaba, that's where we're at right now. What's that place called? USANA. anywho, but so we had these little rock discs and little bulletins that we still have thousands of. But I just remember being incredibly nervous to put this disc, this little small thing, and just to hand it out to these people. Like, what am I doing? They don't want my stuff. You know, they're going to throw it away anyway, but I'm just out there. I'm like, you know, we're all... And I met Ryan on that trip, and that was cool. That's when he started coming around, and... Memories, anyway, so... I'm just trying to paint a picture here, like scared out of my mind, heart's beating like crazy, and I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm just giving out these discs, and these people are high from the Big Fish concert. But, so, I'm not, it was pretty intense. But I remember looking at these guys from Colorado. I'm looking at Big Tony and Travis and Henry, and these guys, they're serious, you know, they're for it, man. I remember Travis just like, oh, man, he's picking them up off the ground and he's racing to people. I got to go give them to that guy. Give one to that guy. Give one to that guy. And I'm just thinking, I'm terrified to walk next to somebody, you know, and pass one of these out. And I don't know why. That's just what happens to that's just how we are. We're afraid to spread the good news of Jesus at first. And that doesn't make much sense, but because it's good news. I'm just painting a picture because down the road, you know, I go to HSLTs and I'm learning how to share the gospel and all that other stuff. And then I'm getting more and more comfortable with myself and sharing the gospel and knowing more about Jesus. And then all of a sudden we're at the University of Utah and we're trying to share out at the parks. And Steele comes out and plays a couple songs. And we got Tom Short coming out. And we don't really know what we're doing. We spent a lot of time playing Frisbee and just trying to get to know people. But I think it's an amazing time just to see the miracle God's brought just through examples of other guys and through the examples of men in the Word and men of prayer and women of prayer, and just to see their hearts for God. And I think, you know, we're part of that. We're a part of it, and we're doing it. And we're up at the university, and we don't know what's going to happen. Just started, but our first meeting was shaky, but hopefully our second one will be better. You know, it's just going to take it step by step. I think it's amazing. So praise God for that.
Amen. Coming up. Yeah. Zach reminded me there's a number of you that have done what I think is probably blessed us more than we realize, a 40-day of prayer. A number of you have been involved in things like, okay, I'm going to let Tan tell you all about this.
I wanted to add on to Zach's story about passing out stuff that summer. It's an important fact to remember in terms of faith and like how far we've come. When we were pamphleting the entire city every night of the week for like a month, we didn't have a building where we were going to be. We didn't have an address. We had a website that wasn't made yet and a phone number that was Paige's cell phone. And then over the course of the summer, God brought us our building, which we refinished in about 3 weeks. We had a start date and we didn't have a building. Yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah, at the time I was working 10 hours at the job that I was working, so I would go home, I would get up at 7 o'clock, go to work, I would work a 10-hour day there, I would get some sort of food, I don't really remember eating during that period of time, and then go work 10 hours at the building at night. But anyway, the 40 days of prayer story was that there is a group of women, most of us are here, me and Suji, Becky, Natalie, that's when we met Natalie, and Paige, and a couple other girls met in the spring of... Was it 03? It was about the same time as Vision Quest 03. Yeah. And we met every morning at like 6 o'clock in the morning in their house, either in their living room or in our living room. And for 40 days, we prayed our guts out about all of you guys. Like, every single one of you guys are an answer to those prayers. Because we didn't have much at the time. We had each other and we had our faith in God. And now we have this huge family and all of this talent within it, within us. Like, I am amazed at the people that God has brought to the Rock. Just because of the sheer, like, abilities that we have. We really do have, this will sound weird, but we really do have, like, the ability within us to take over the world. You know? I mean, all of us have some amazing talent. But also along the lines of Vision Quest 03, I remember praying specifically at that time for Josh and Krista to move out here. Was that you had, like you had said, I've asked Josh and Krista to move out. They're not very excited about it. Let's pray and see what happens. And now I'm here. So those are my
suggestions. Good. There's been other people who have done the 40 days. There's been other groups that have done that 40 days of prayer. And honestly, I just think that that has borne more fruit, probably more fruit than we even know. Those 40 days of prayer has been really good. Daniel.
Okay, I just wanted to share a little story of the first time I attended the church. At the time, I was a junior in high school, yeah. And I was a student leader in my church. And Jason Foster, Michael's brother, was my youth pastor at the time. And I was one of my jobs is I was a doing announcements and stuff on Sunday mornings for our church, and Jason's like, yeah, you could be a little funnier. You should go to the Rock Church and watch Derek. That is how I found this church. It's because my youth pastor told me to come so I could be funnier. So I come, and I'm like, kind of sitting around, and I honestly, they probably were just being normal and stuff, but I honestly felt like Ryan and Josh both went out of their way just to make me feel welcome. And then the music starts, and I thought Steele was having a seizure. And I was scared because I'm a little white boy from Utah, and I saw people with tattoos. And I used to be Mormon, and I was like, what? This is amazing. And then you came up, and you just gave such conviction and such love in your talks. And I was like, this is amazing. I need to keep coming. So, thanks.
Amen. Got time for one or two more here.
All right. So, actually, one of the first times I went to the downtown building, I had gone to the Sandy building a couple times with my sister. I didn't really like it that much. It was weird. The first time that I came was kind of like a night like this where, like, everyone was getting up and sharing testimonials. And Joey got up and talked about how he and, like, talked about, like, his past with him and Steele a little bit. And I was just kind of weirded out. Like, I'd never seen something like that happen in a church before. And I was like, this is, I don't know if this is something that I want to go to. Like, there's people, like, breaking down on the sidelines. I don't really, not really feeling comfortable. But Daniel actually talked me into going back again, like, a couple months after he'd been going, like, steadily. And this is just kind of a funny story. And also, it, like, one of the reasons why I got plugged into the Rock was actually because of Zach and Matt. And, like, really the first time that I met them was, it was back when they were doing, like, skits every Saturday night. And one of them was about fortune cookies, and I can't even remember what the skit was about. But, like, there was, like, they had fortune cookies in it, and for some reason they got all over the floor, and, like, they got fell off onto the stage, and Daniel and I were sitting in the front row, and we're both right smack dab in the middle, in the front row, and both of us just look at each other and we're like, we kind of want a fortune cookie. Like, that looks really good. I'd like one. But, so, like, I sneak up, and I grab a couple fortune, like, I grab two fortune cookies, and I give one to Daniel, and I take one for myself, and then Zach taps me on the shoulder, he's like, hey, so I give Zach one, and then Bill walks up and he picks up a fortune cookie and tosses it right at Matt, and I'm like, this is really not awkward at all. Like, I've just stolen fortune cookies from someone who had just given to me openly. But and then later on, like, Daniel went and did something, and I was just hanging out by myself and, like, not really doing anything. And I just remember I asked Matt to give me a ride home, and it was back when he had his probe, if any of you know about that. We fit me, Matt Mayhew, and Zach in the back seat of his probe and drove out to my house in Taylorsville where Matt dropped me off. And that was just like the fact that I just barely met him that night And I'd asked him for a ride home, and he was just open to give me a ride home. And he didn't really even ask for gas money back. Like, it was I felt home the first time I came here, and just that's just why I keep coming back, is because it feels like home.
I'll try not to take too long. One thing that there's so many things that I could be talking about, so many things from how God has used the rock. We're remembering how God has changed our lives, and in my own life, I'm a different man now because of God and because of you, Bill. I want to tell you that, and you, Paige, and I can never. It's amazing to see how God can use a local church in somebody's life. And something that I'm so impressed about, there's just two things I want to mention that I'm thankful for that I remember. I remember when we were growing so fast and Josh Whitney came. And brother, look around, my man, because this is so much a part of you. And I just want to honor you. There are lots of men in here, but I am just thankful for your sacrifice. And then something else that I'm so excited about is there are so many new young leaders coming up. And I can't believe that. That's God and the power of a local church. I mean, I could mention every single one of your names. Randall Topper, brother, my man, you keep burning for Jesus, brother. It's all over the place. I mean, they're all of Hayden and Dax and Matt Nannis and Lauren is here. I mean, Trey, Jake. Oh, my gosh, I can get back out. Oh, back out, ball, you know. I remember, I'm not kidding, I remember when we were first starting, Josh can remember this, and Tim and Derek and Cole, and I'm probably forgetting many, but we're sitting there and we're trying to put together a concrete. Number one, I don't have any business doing anything with concrete, ever. And we're trying to put together a concrete bench for the downtown rock, we're trying to make a bar. And Paige had said, can you get some guys together? I'm like, what am I going to tell them to do? What's going to happen? Just, I don't know. Just grab Derek and Tim. They can help you out. And I was really nervous about that because we had no guys. I mean, that's it. We just had nobody. And I was scraping the barrel. I mean, I was calling as many guys as I could to help us with these concrete benches. And I remember, I think Josh was there that day, and Tim, and Cole, and Derek. And I freaked out because I was like, there are 12 guys here. 12 guys! I can't believe there's 12 faithful guys! 12 faithful guys! And now I look around, it's like, ka-go, ka-go, ka-go. I mean, there's so many guys. And you know what? You're good guys. I would let you lay your life down for me any day. Just kidding. No, seriously, guys, I'm just kidding. I would lay my life down for every single one of you that are in here. And it's beautiful because that's the faithfulness of God. I mean, this church has changed my life in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, just from addictions all the way down to just loving God and meeting and loving my wife and falling in love with Jesus because of a few men. And then there was a couple of guys. And then there was a couple of girls. And now it's like, oh man, it's a beautiful 21, 18, 19 years old. There are guys and girls coming around. And you're going to change the world. You're going to change the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. Keep running hard for God, because look around, it's so good. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
It's good to remember, isn't it? God has been good to us. And I just want to share with you that Evie Hill, you guys ever heard of Evie Hill, a black preacher? I saw him at Promise Keepers once. I'll never forget, he talked about the Black Panthers. He was closing his message, and we were sitting in CU Stadium, dark, a bunch of Promise Keepers, and he started preaching about the Black Panthers. And he said, the Black Panthers, and he has this deep, rich, southern black preaching it, the Black Panthers shut down New York City. And he's going on and on about how the Black Panthers scared everybody. Nobody was on the street, the Black Panthers. And he told the whole story about how they shut down, just scared the whole country, was afraid of the Black Panthers. He says, you know how many Black Panthers there were at that time? 18. 18 Black Panthers shut down. And he went through the whole thing. 18 Black Panthers. And he said, he looked around and said, I'm looking around, I see a whole lot of 18s out here. Christian, I see a whole lot of, you know, we had a few people come out here in 1999. We had a few people help start the church downtown. We had a few people help with buildings. We had a few people. I see a whole bunch of few people right in here, a whole bunch more. We were scraping to get 12 guys, and I remember that. We were all excited. 12 men. We were all excited. There's a whole bunch of 12 here tonight. There's a whole bunch of 12 in our church. Can you imagine what God would do if all of us together said, you know what? We're not done yet. We're just getting started. I'm going to give everything I have. I'm willing to work 10-hour nights to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to lay my life down. Really, what it comes down to, I'm willing to love people enough to pay a price. There's a whole bunch of 12s in here. A whole bunch. You have no idea what we could do. It's unbelievable. The potential is unbelievable. I hope you see that tonight. I just want to switch gears real quick because I want to do this tonight. God has blessed us. God has blessed us in many, many ways. We can look back, and that's what I want to do tonight, is look back and be amazed and be encouraged by the past. Be encouraged by the past. And one thing that I've been encouraged by lately and have been praying about and thinking about and getting counsel about and working on for the last 6 months pretty hard is recognizing leadership within our church. When we first started, we had what we call fellowship teams, and the leaders of those fellowship teams were really, they were under shepherds. We'd tell them that. Your little small group is like a little church. When we switched to this new model of small groups, the free market, we realize now we lost some recognized leadership. Meaning if I said, all leaders come up here and stand up here on stage, I think some people go, I think I'm a leader. And some people go, am I a leader? I don't know. I was a leader. I led a small group, but I'm not sure. And I do think that has taken something away from our church that's very important. We see in the New Testament that Paul told Timothy to go and recognize leaders. Recognize elders and recognize leaders in the churches. It's so important, isn't it, to have leadership, and it's so important to have recognized leadership. In 1 Timothy 3, it talks about what it takes to be a leader in our church. And we have come to the point, we've been working on this, where we believe as a church, Steve and I, as the pastors of the church, and through council and through the staff meetings and prayer, we believe that God has raised up a whole level of leadership in our church that in a couple weeks we're going to recognize that with the whole church and put them before the church. And it's going to be a huge, huge deal. And they're going to be our management team. They are what the Bible calls deacons, which means slave or servant. That's literally what the word means. And we've talked to all these guys. We've actually had them take from the Great Commission Association of Churches, which we're a part of. They have we call a deacon test. It's just a kind of a litmus test real quick just to go, are you qualified biblically or not? Just to kind of make sure. And they've all taken that, and their wives have taken that test. And we've asked them to prayerfully consider. And I haven't heard no from any of them. We've got really 13 men that we have said, will you lead our church? Will you be a level of management below Steve and I to help manage this church? That for 1 year, it's a one-year office, would you do that? Would you prayerfully consider that? And we will assign you an area over our church where you are, in one sense, you're going to be there to support that area. And this is a huge deal. This is a big deal for our church. This is very exciting. And I've gotten counsel from John Meyer, Rick Whitney, and asked them, just walk me through this, John, because we've not done this before. And you have the privilege and honor of really being the first group that we publicly have shared this with as the core of the core, as the lifeblood of our church. I want to do that tonight. I want to put before you we are a leadership body, but I think God, within the leadership, raises up leaders that we can look to and that want to help us, that are servants, are slaves. They already are. It's not a matter of will they be. They are. And I think God has raised them up, and that's why we call it that. We call it recognizing deacons or recognizing elders, because what we're doing is just going, yep, that's happened. We recognize it. Holy Spirit raises people up. And what I want to do tonight is all of them that could be here that we've talked to and that we've asked you to consider being a deacon for a year. If you've agreed to that, why don't you come up here, men? All you guys. I want these guys to see who our leadership team is in this church. We have 6 from Saturday and 6 from Sunday. And I know there's some missing. Or are there? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Porter and Andy Petrie from Sunday. So we have 6 now. There were others of you that honestly were on our list, and as we prayed and talked, we really felt like these guys these were the guys. These were guys that God has risen up. That God has. Wouldn't you agree that these guys are kind of servicing our church here? Amen. I'm thrilled to present them to you along with Andrew Petrie from Sunday morning and Jeff Porter from Sunday morning. And bear in mind, they're deacons, and I've made the call as far as doing this, because this is kind of new to us too, is that we won't have paid staff be deacons. I mean, Steele and Tony and Michael, at this point, we're not an option because they're paid. And I just want to have, at this level of management, I would like to have guys that are just serving and not being paid. Those guys obviously have servant hearts, and we know that. But these 12 men will be have a level manager. I'm going to talk more about it tomorrow as far as their responsibilities. What I've told them is that I'm not going to give you a lot more work. I hope that's true. I'm pretty sure that's true, guys. We're not going to give you a lot more work, but they're going to be taking ownership of certain areas in the church where you can, that are already being run, and you can go to them and get support and get help. And they're going to bring stability, an amazing stability and solidness to our church. They're already doing the work. Now it's just recognizing them, and I think there'll be a blessing with that. There's a blessing and a promise to them in 1 Timothy 3. If they serve well, they'll gain favor and a good understanding. Okay, so these are our guys that in about 2 weeks I'm going to put before the church. That simply means I'm going to say, church, this is what these are the guys that we want to recognize as leaders. It doesn't mean the rest of you men and women, there can be deacons and deaconesses. We believe that. We this is our first round with this, so we just thought we'd just go with guys this time. It's there are deaconesses in the Bible, and we consider that. We kicked that around. I got counsel about it, and we're totally open to that. And we believe that we have deaconesses in our church. But at this point, I just want to let you know that we just felt it would be smoother at this point for this year just to get these guys going. And then, you know, does that make sense? You guys, you women are awesome. We can't do this without you. The wives of these men are awesome. And but we're just excited that we can recognize these men, okay, as deacons. And we'll put them before the church, and we'll say, church, we think these men are qualified according to 1 Timothy 3. And if you have issues, if you have anything you know about them that we should know, then let us know. Let Steve or I know. That would disqualify them based on their character, meaning you know that they have, you see them at Wendover every other weekend, and they are drunk as a skunk, and that you might not know that. I want to know that, okay? I don't believe that's true of these guys, but we want to have leaders that have character, okay? Not characters, but have character, okay? So, why don't you guys stay here. This is exciting, because here's the next thing. Here's probably the coolest thing that I want to share with you tonight, that you're fortunate and you're blessed, is I believe that not only has God raised up 12 deacons in our church, I believe he's raised up 2 more pastors in our church that are sitting here tonight. I mean, I believe that God has raised up, and that we're going to recognize in a few weeks here, 2 new pastors that will be co-pastors with Steve and I. They come to the table as co-leaders of this church. We believe in co-leadership. We believe in equality of leadership. There's co-ownership, co-responsibility of the church. Steve and I have co-leadership. We both lead the church. We don't make decisions unless it's unanimous. If Steve would ever say, Bill, I'm not sure if that's a good idea, then it's like, okay, we're not going to move ahead until we can agree. And it's kind of the way our staff works, pretty much. But for sure, Steve and I, if we're not in agreement, we don't move ahead. We believe in plurality of eldership, an elder board, if you will, a team of elders working together. And this is a huge deal to have two more recognized pastors in our church. We'll have four pastors then to lead our church. Won't that be good? Won't that be awesome? It is exciting. And here's the deal again. It says, I think in Psalm 75, it says, neither from the east or the west or the desert is a man exalted, God puts up one and puts down another. God raises up. We know the Holy Spirit.